Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I have one little regret, and that is that we didn't really push it in the for the brethren of the new class that was starting. I don't know. Did we really announce it outside of class? What was coming up next? A little bit. But Justin Bolton's going to be bringing us a class on finances, and I'm excited about this. I think it's a very valuable, definitely, certainly. As we've talked about recently in some stewardships, he was faithful in little things, is faithful also in much. One thing about Justin that, we don't always think of Justin as one of the preachers around here, right? But Justin's very disciplined in his personal life and disciplined in his finances and certainly qualified. And I asked him if he had an interest in doing this, and yeah, he'd do it. And I think it's actually great for us. Brethren, there was a little activity we had at youth camp. And I think Marshall and I had 14 campers in our cabin. And there was this activity where they all get blindfolded. And then we kind of have them pair up and they try to lead each other through some obstacle course it was just cones because we didn't want them killing themselves. But like they didn't even make it to any of the cones, these guys. We just kind of sent them in a certain direction. They, you know, kept them from hitting the wall and running into the building, that kind of stuff. But, you know, the blind couldn't lead the blind. Jesus is very clear about that. But then Marshall and I, we still had them all blindfolded, and Marshall and I led them. So I was at the front, and then we kind of locked arms, linked arms, and then I put Marshall in the middle. And that middle guy was really, really, really important. Because that long train, trying to weave through cones with a bunch of blindfolded people, and one of the things that I brought up is just the importance of having internal leadership. Not necessarily people that are recognized as the front, but people who are leading along the way in their areas. And Justin Bolton, certainly one of those guys, and definitely worth our attention. I think we can all get some good stuff. And the bottom line is, are we going to put into practice what we learn? That's always the tricky thing with finances. But I know there'll be some great stuff. So welcome Justin Bolton. Bring him on.
Well, shoot, he gave me such a good introduction, I almost blushed. I don't know if I really need this here. I might start pacing around it. Who knows? I'm glad I had an opportunity to do this. You know, this is one of the areas where it gets challenging for everybody. People hear, we're gonna have a class on finances. Well, you can either take that one way. You can think, great, we get to hear more things about trying to control things that is very hard to keep track of and about things that I'm not being disciplined on. It's like, great, I just want to get hammered on this again. I'll tell you, if the shoe fits, wear it. That's all I got to say. This is something that never gets easier, no matter what you do. You know, I've had the opportunity to do some running over the past year, and I thought I would get to certain points where some things have been easy, but guess what? The pain is still there, no matter what you do. Whether you're trying to do speed work or you're trying to do a longer run, the pain is still going to be there. But here's one of the great things about it, is that this morning I'm going to kind of go over some things that I kind of want to hit in more detail and give just a brief overall of those so you have an idea where we're going. Because, let's see, how many in here is under 25? Raise your hand. I didn't say over 25. So, we have a few people in here that are under 25. We have a few people in here that you're still at an age where if you can get a handle on these things and get some good habits formed while you're young, this won't be hard when you get older. And I guarantee you we have some people here sitting in this audience who've had some experience with this. But I want to try to see how this applies to us spiritually and look how this is going to set us up. We can have a plan and we can keep going forward with it. I don't know, how many of you ever seen a diagram I show of the bridge? You guys remember that? I might draw it real quick. All right. So, you have your bridge, right? Nice little guardrail there. Supporting pillars. So, we have a bridge that goes from point A. We need to get to go to point B, right? What happens between here? If point B is here, if it's water, you could be crossing canyons. You might not be able to get out of. I often use this as a bad example of a bad day of a civil engineer that had a bad day. Because one, there was no check on his work. The other one is there was no communication with the one who did the design for it to where it needed to be done. Do you think we have a communication with the designer? Order for where you need to go? Sure. So, I kind of had this picture in my mind. This is something that Christ helps us do, really. Because we can have a plan here, but spiritually looking at a long plan from A to B, we would have never been able to bridge a gap that was there, would we have? So, as we look at some things, you can turn to 1 Timothy. Begin with, there's some things we need to take into account. One, we need to know where we're at. I realize that if I don't have things written down, if I don't have a schedule that I'm keeping, if I don't have things written down, I might have a good idea where I'm at. And I'm like, yeah, I'm still pretty good. I could keep telling myself that. If I did this with my running, I keep, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I got 5 miles in, but, you know, I keep track of my time, but I don't ever take time to go back and review that and then see where I want to be. Then I'm not going to be able to figure out how to get there because I'm not going to be able to look back and say, this is where I'm missing the mark. This is where I'm bleeding at. This is where I need to patch things up on my workouts, right? Well, the same thing happens with our finances. You can have somebody have their finances. I'm good. I never have any problems. Well, you might not have any problems, but are you using the full potential? Are you able to direct that to where it needs to go? See, in 1 Timothy, we'll start in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and snare and a snare and foolish and many foolish, harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith, pierced themselves with many griefs. He starts off before he even talks about the love of money, because people say, God, the money is the root of all evil. It's not. It's a tool, really. We know that. It's a tool. It's necessary for our means right now. All it is a form of exchange that we have. I can't say right now in our current terms that it's always the best form of exchange.
Yeah. There. You're exactly right when you say it's the love of money, or God's exactly right. It's funny. I've been around people who have money, and I don't remember who said it to me, but it was a guy I think who had quite a bit of money. But he said, you know, it's if you say, well, if I just had $1 million, or if I just had $2 million, I'd be set. You know, no, what happens is you get that $1 million, and now what you're worried about is losing the $1 million. It's something's going to happen to that $1 million, so you need $2 million to be more secure. And it never ends. It just goes on and on and on. So the more you have, realistically, the more you have to lose. And thus you worry more about that. And so it's that love of money, you know, if you have $1 million, it's the Lord's, and if the Lord takes it back, hey, I guess that's what he decides to do. You cannot be so consumed if I just had more, because the more you have, the more you're going to worry about.
There's just also, there's parts of that that you do have more. Guess what? There's more to pay attention to. There's more for you to worry about, is terms. Now, God has blessed us all with different abilities. I can say that. But the part where he's talking about the temptation here is the part that gets distracting us from what our needs are to where our goals become. Because I can tell you with money that anybody who's ever had to deal with it knows that we can talk ourselves into things really easy. But it's really hard to talk yourselves out of something. And then everybody who buys something that they didn't really necessarily need, after the newness kind of wears off, they have buyer's remorse. They're like, oh, that wasn't very good. I guarantee you, if you've dealt with money, you've had this at some point. Because how else are we going to learn? I want to be able to aim this more at maybe refining our skills to people who already have some of these practices, but in from some of the younger people, being able to take this springboard and jump off it.
I'm sorry to keep bringing up comments. My wife will rein me in eventually. But it's actually, even the world has figured out that if, you know, people, there is a literal physical rush that happens when we buy something new. And it literally becomes an addiction. People, you know, they feel crummy, so they have to go out and buy something new. And that newness wears off, or that feeling lasts for maybe 6 months, a year at most. And then your happiness level goes back to where it was before. And if it was in the toilet, it goes back to the toilet again. So again, that money will not solve the real core issue in our hearts.
Right. You're right. And sometimes I think it as people trying to plug a hole with money, and it won't work, or things, you know. Let's see where I was at with being able to establish this. We shouldn't have to recreate the wheel, really. But if we can encourage younger folks to be able to develop some of these habits and these disciplines when you're young, by the time you get my age, by the time you get Mr. Wilson's age, you're going to be disciplined enough with your finances if you start now. I'm not talking about starting, yeah, I'll think about it when I think about what my plan is for my life. I'm talking about now, because if you don't start that now, you're not going to be able to really define where you want to go with your goal in your life. You know, this form of exchange that we have to have. Do you ever wonder where any of your drivers, who went to driver's ed here, the younger kids? Actually, most people can raise their hands in here because most of us went to driver's ed. They had this. We're not that old. So, if you've gone to driver's ed, I guarantee in driver's ed, they don't teach you about the instruments on your car. They teach you how to operate it and the safety of everything around you. But they don't tell you about the instruments on your car. They don't tell you about when it's overheating. Because if it's overheating, it's probably something that's been coming long before it started to overheat that's going to cause that. So this is very important, because these are one of the things that gives us a gauge. Because we are in this world but not of it. And to keep that separation, it's hard for us not to. We work hard for the things we have. Or we think we work hard. I know some people that work harder for things. But we think we work so hard, so we want to be deserving of something, right? Well, I've worked hard. I think I want to drive a nicer car. Okay, There's nothing wrong with those. I think what happens is we got to understand our needs. Some people's needs are different. And within the body of Christ, what happens is when money problems within the group I'm talking about, what happens is we start looking at one another saying, maybe they shouldn't be driving that nice of a vehicle. Because that attitude will tear us all apart. I've seen it from the time I was young, people fighting over money and church splitting, basically over money. And I was trying to look up some statistics for divorce rates in the U.S. And most of them have to do with money. They really do. They have to do with not being able to control where things are going. And what does that lead into? Well, it talked about in 1 Timothy. It's the temptation and what comes after that. The lust after things that they, you know. So why is it important to have our finances in order? I've kind of already laid a little about this. 1 Timothy 4:7. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. If we have a goal that we're trying to achieve, and this is one of the tools that we have to use, we have to be able to use it properly. We're all going to have to give an account for all the stewardship that has been entrusted to us, right? Isn't this something that's been entrusted to us? It's not ours, is it? So, we work hard for it, for what we have, but who are we really working for? The Lord, right? So, sometimes these things, in the midst of things, we get things jumbled up in our heads. Like, what direction we're going? Like, I'm trying to accomplish this. I'm trying to get this done. And then, we get sidetracked on trying to get some of the little things done instead of always looking back, saying, what was my big picture and my plan? What was my plan financially? Does anybody have a financial plan? Let me ask you that. Do you have something that you can see yourself where you want to be to the direction that you want to be spiritually? Do you have a plan written out that you can see and reflect back to that tells you, like, where you want to be spiritually? What are your potentials and your goals? Where do you see yourself being spiritually? And is that going to add up going to that?
Are you saying in reference to our finances? Or
yes.
Just, okay.
Yes.
Yep. What I'm talking about here is a long-term plan. Does anybody have a long-term plan? Because I've also seen assembly of people are like, they don't think Jesus really had, he talks about money, but they're like, well, I didn't ever really see him handling the money. If you read between the lines, he knew about it. He knew about what his money supply was. He wouldn't have known about the pilfering of the box, Rudy, if he didn't know how much was supposed to be in there.
Jesus didn't talk about it because he didn't care about it. In one sense, all he had was a coat on his back. But in the parable of the unrighteous steward, 16:10, he who is faithful in very little things is faithful in much. He who is unrighteous in very little things is unrighteous in much. If you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? If we are not faithful in the financial things, if we do not get our financial house in order, you will not, or your physical house, you will not. The way I read it, you're never going to really do much for the kingdom.
Very true, very true. And you're hitting on a lot of things I have to go through. You're okay. I probably better speed up as going through some of this. So first we want to talk about finances. Maybe we don't have a clue on how to set that up. I know I've used some resources. I've used some resources from Dave Ramsey. Me and Jennifer have used some other resources from other people. But ultimately, you're going to have to be able to put together something that works for you. Because not everybody thinks the same. But here's the big picture. It's like, as our money is brought into the assembly, like, you got to picture yourself as an army, right? We're an army. What if you're someone that has this many horses? You think horses are valuable in an army? Okay. Well, how are we going to use this? How are we going to come together and use this? Well, you can say, well, I have my horses. They're going to be worth value, you know. But how are we going to use this? Which direction are we going to flow? And most importantly, how are we going to use this all together? Well, God has that kind of set up as far as a tithe. But is everything having to do with finances just in what we give in a tithe? No, it's not. So let's go through. God first. He always has to be first. Larry alluded to this. If you go to Exodus 23. Exodus chapter 20, sorry. Verse 3. Start in verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Then God spoke to all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. People get attracted to money because, guess what? It gets them to purchase the things that they want. The things that they kind of set up, right? They set up. But if you look at people who've been around a while and people that have gotten to a certain point, like Larry was referring to, they get to a point where it doesn't matter anymore. They've never been going to be able to fill this hole that they have inside themselves with money. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. I don't want to try to talk to the point of we should all live poor. I don't think that's the principles that God gives us with the tools that he gives us. It doesn't say that we can't have some enjoyment. Hey, I enjoy being able to have people over, even have some, spend a little extra on maybe some roasted cheese. You know?
You alluded to it before. Money's not the root of the evil. It's the love of money. One thing you got to remember is your priorities. Where do your priorities lie? If you're not putting God first with your finances, you know, it doesn't matter how much you make, you still got to put God first. That's a given, because everything you have is because of God.
That's right. All the abilities we have, everything we have been given to us is from God. We've been all been given a stewardship. It's what we do with that. I'm going to allude to some of this further on as we go through some of these topics. First was being putting God first. The next, by putting God first, is what? The lost. Seeking, saving, lost. That's in the Great Commission that's given to us in Matthew 28. Right? It's going to take something to have this done. We're not going to be able to just, God will take care of everything. I just have faith. I don't think that's real faith if you boil it down to it. Because you know what? That means that you're not taking action. And faith takes action.
I always think of faith as buying into God's plan. If you buy into a plan, you're a participant in it. If you really buy into it. If you don't participate in it, then you can't say you were ever on board with it.
Right. That's right. If you can say one thing, but then you're doing another, then you haven't really bought into it. That's true. We're going to talk about wisdom, working with money. Things aren't going to get any easier. The way our markets are currently set up, I had a chance to visit with Jennifer's uncle, who's here. She hadn't seen him for a long time. He's been very successful in being able to allocate his money and have it make money for him. There's other areas in this, but there's going to be risks. You tell you from the parable that is talking about, you know, the parable of the talents. Was there some risk involved in that? You betcha. But there's also risk knowing that God tells us He's going to take care of us because we're trying to do something with the things that He's given us to accomplish His will. Another big one, working. Oh, we'll skip this.
I was just going to say, in that parable of the talents, the guy who got in trouble was the guy who was afraid to take the risk.
Right.
You know, if he would have, I mean, with the Lord on our side, it just doesn't work that way. If you go for it and you go to put that talent out there to get a return, one way or another, something's going to come back. And, maybe not in terms of money, but like you said, the bottom line is if you trust God, and you take the risks for honestly, from a pure motive for God, then God's going to make it all work out for His glory. So it's being afraid to do anything. Like I know just in my life, sometimes fear holds me back. It paralyzes me from action. And that's what got that, he said he was afraid. And he got in trouble for not doing anything because he was afraid.
You know, it really is a faith picture issue. Faith is going to combat fear. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 7. It says, "Two things I ask of you, do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God." You kind of alluded to this in the beginning. I think it's easy when it comes to money to look at people who have it and think they're suffering from a love of it. But what I really notice is, you know, like he says here, sometimes it's those who don't have it and they're, you know, overtaken with a want for it and it consumes them and they profane the name of their God. And it's a faith issue. You know, when this test that we've been given by our Lord and being a steward of these things, it's a measure of our faith because it just comes down to who's in control of your life. Whether you have a lot of money or you don't and you're suffering from the pursuit of it, it's so that you can gain more control in your life. But ultimately, we got to step back and let the Lord lead our lives.
Yes, very true. If we're not going to let the Lord lead our lives, then really the discipline of, and I think that's really where the world sits at as far as dealing with finances. The discipline of finances, they understand there's a discipline that has to be there, but they don't understand there's a bigger picture behind it because really they're working for themselves. Other issue that comes along with finances, working. Right out of the box, Genesis, man is given a job, wasn't he? To take care of the garden, right? People say he just got to sit on his... Some people think, it was beautiful. Everything was there. Like, he was given a job to do. All of us are going to, at some point, have to have a job. What we do, that is going to determine from starting now what our long picture goal is. Can things change? Yeah, they can. I can tell you that I had a goal when I came to Billings, Montana, and that was to work in a refinery. I did my schooling, eventually got my job at the refinery, and I had a plan. But guess what? That wasn't where God wanted me to be. And sometimes we're so focused on trying to get where we want to go that we don't realize we got to understand those doors that open and close. Because I actually tried to get back into the refinery, even with all the health issue stuff that we've had to go through. And that door just kept closing. And finally, I'm like, all right, stop banging my head off the wall. I get it. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Again, I'm just hitting a couple of these just to top to kind of where we're going to, some things we're going to go through more in detail. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever you do, shorten this. Whatever you do, do with all your might. I'm putting this in the terms of working. I know there's times that I've worked, and guess what? I know I didn't do it with all my might. I know I didn't pull my full effort forward. Now, it might have been okay, it might have went over with whoever needed that to be done, but what that did to me mentally was far worse than what repercussions could have come from maybe a boss not doing it right. See, a man who is skilled in his work will stand before kings, right? So if we approach things looking at that like, hey, I'm doing this for God, I get to stand before the true king. But one of the benefits of that is people are going to recognize that. They're going to recognize that you have a desire to get your to work hard. Proverbs 28:20. Faithful man will abound with blessings. But he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. This term comes back in. You make haste to do something, guess what? You don't build the things that need to be built along the way, do you? Take shortcuts. Take shortcuts in a building that normally isn't a very good building. And I know God isn't about shortcuts in His building. Next one, tithing. This one brings it more into all of us. In tithing. Hitler.
I just wanted to, this is my favorite verse on working, and maybe you'll hit it later, but, you know, in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, freely with you, we used to give you this order, if he was not willing to work, then he's not to eat either, you know, so, I mean, that right there says, work, you know, and it's very clear, you know, God wants us to work and build that work ethic in us, so I just had to hit that one on work. It's my favorite one.
No, very, very good. And that is, I do actually have that in my notes. Work is one of those things that is never going to go away. I had a gentleman ask me, I was trying to do something else with my money that I had, because honestly, sitting in the bank isn't doing anything. I'm not taking a risk by letting it sit there and do nothing. So I got to try to do something with it to have it make some more money. And I forgot I was going with that. Sorry, I got distracted. What was I talking about before that? Yeah. I come back to it. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
Back to what you were saying about do it. Whatever you're going to do, make sure you do it with all your might. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. You know, whatever you're going to choose to do in the workforce, treat it just like you would working for God. Give it your all. Do the very best you can do. Because, again, a good reputation, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth.
Very true. Very true. Okay, sorry. Back to the plan. My thought came back to me. We were talking about working, and he kept asking me. He's like, I was talking to him about some financial things, and kept asking me, well, when do you want to retire? I told him, I don't think I ever will retire. And he couldn't get over that. He's like, well, there's got to be an age that you want to stop working. I said, I don't think I'm ever going to stop working because I know if I stop working that I will die. This works with us spiritually, doesn't it? It's one of the lessons, like, hey, God says work. Gee, you don't work, you don't eat. A lot of people don't see this because of all the free agencies that we have that have been built up in America. Those aren't on God's principles. They're really not. You know, and God has set things up in the Old Testament for those who didn't have a lot. You know, or the corners of the fields. You know, hey, didn't mean they didn't have to go out and work for it. It just means that they had a chance to have an opportunity in order to get some, you know, that they could eat. Spend less than you make. This is hard. If you do not have a written down budget, if you don't have something you can review, this will not happen. Always going to spend more because things always come up. Always. No matter what happens. Proverbs 21:5. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Let me ask you younger people a question, and even to some of us who are maybe not quite older yet, because this is the way society works today. People think that they need to be just like their parents who are 50, 60 years old and have all these things that they've gotten over the years. Well, they have the campers. They have the four-wheelers. They have their house. How long did it take them to get that? Our society thinks we need it all now. So this leads me to another thing, our lifestyle. Is that something that we have to question? Sure. Everybody, this is going to be on each individual. Because I can't go over and question my brother in Christ. I don't think your lifestyle, you're living godly. Well, you're not in control of their budget, first of all. You're not the one who makes the decisions they do. And a lot of times, what ends up happening within the assembly is we don't know the things that other people are doing behind the scenes. Because I guarantee you, in the assembly that we have, it's just a general rule. Some people aren't there yet, and I'm not trying to say that you should be there right now. Some people's faith has to grow as far as where they direct their money and their tithing. But I can guarantee you that if it wasn't for some other people working behind the scenes, not all the ends would get met all the time for the people who need. So we have to be aware of where we all sit and how we play together as a team. Because this is very important to where our lifestyles lead us, is the direction that we're pushing towards our money. See, I started off with having a plan, going from A to B, right? Sometimes you'd be like, man, it doesn't feel like I'm really falling. Okay, let's take a look back here. So, I look at my budget and I notice that been spending a little extra on my running stuff lately, right? I'm like, huh. Now, this is something that I know that we have the money for, but did I set it aside for that? See, it's direction. Giving it a direction, because otherwise, it'll use you. It's going to be this continuous cycle of you chasing it. And that brings me more. Go ahead, Luke.
On something else you said, and I don't know how much you're going to go back and re-hit these things in detail, but, you know, when it's not my responsibility to try to judge my brother or sister in Christ, their budget. And it's really true because, just as an example, if I'm somebody that my whole life I've made minimum wage, you know, and that's what I've done for work. And so I'm not going to have much stuff, but it's easy for me to look at somebody who maybe has their own business and that kind of stuff, and they're driving nice vehicles, and to say, well, that's, you know, that's not right. That money should be, well, I don't even have a general understanding of something called capital that's required to make money if I do have my own business. So, I mean, that's just one very easy thing to say. If you've never been there, you don't understand the necessity of capital. So that can be in all areas of other people's finances. We don't know what their plans are. We don't know. So I just think it's important, like anything else in the body of Christ, that what you're talking about is you're talking about your personal budget. You're talking about your self-examination, not examining everybody else. So.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for making that point. You know, and that leads me into the next part where he's talking about you're planning and investing. You know, Proverbs 16:9, and I'm running out of time here. Man plans his steps, but Lord directs his paths, right? So, obviously there has to be a path for us to run, and there has to be a way for us to review this. God sets his word up so that we can see his plan and we can review it to where we get, like, we might get a little sidetracked on what's going on because we're looking here, we're not able to pick our head up like, oh yeah, I'm going over there. The planning and investing part ends up going to be controlling our lifestyle, really. How do you see yourself in the future in the body of Christ? I don't really have time, and we'll go into this further. Debt. I want to go over some things that people probably don't even know how to do. And I talked to Mr. Toole a little bit about this, but you know, I think we can get a good understanding. But how many people know to actually balance their checkbook? Like, oh, it has money in there, I'm good, I'm not negative. Some people are very disciplined about it. Okay? What about balancing our checkbook? You know, what about other things? There's going to be other things that come on top of this. Part of this is compound interest. Some people don't fully understand it. And I'm going to give a list of this and pass it out so that you actually can see it.
There's so many people that, like you said, don't know how to balance their checkbook, and they blame it on there's too much month at the end of the money. I know, I've been there myself. And it's really hard to overcome that, you know. So then you get credit cards, and next thing you know, credit cards are maxed out, and you're still too much month at the end of the money. And you got to get control of it somewhere.
Getting a handle on it, and this is why I want to express really importance to some of the younger people to pay attention as I go through this. What compound interest will look over time? What will that look like, and how will that affect your plan? I'm going over them. I'm going to start taking after Mr. Simpson.
All I'm just going to say is the bankers of this world know exactly how compound interest work, and they use it to suck your resources dry.
You're right. If we're not wise in the way we, in our understanding of how finances work and where the money changers of this world, what they're doing, then it's going to be easy to get sucked into some of those things. So that's an idea of where we're heading, some of these things that we're going to go into detail. I didn't want to jump into all just right off the bat and kind of get everybody lost. I want us to kind of have an idea of a direction that we're heading over the next few weeks. So thank you.